Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live, a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Matt Dennison here. Lee Kelly is with me as always on Thursdays. And Lee, for the middle of May, IU basketball has been eliminated and over with since the beginning of March. We find ourselves once again today with another story of interest to talk about, a big Washington Post diatribe yesterday on Romeo Langford and his background with Adidas and his father's connections to Adidas and having his own summer team that has raised some eyebrows, I think, of general fans that are leery of cheating in college basketball, that are leery of AAU basketball. But for those of us that have been around it and understand how it works and understand the shoe companies and understand somewhat the rules of the NCAA and what you can get away with and what you can't, it's really no surprise, anything that was written in the story, to be quite honest with you. So interesting times. Rick Pitino continues to talk to about anybody that wants to talk, which is odd, and I'm going to talk about that here in a minute as well. But no question about it, Romeo Langford continuing to stay in the headlines, and I think it's going to be this way with him committed to Indiana, with all the excitement for next season. Unfortunately, the headline out yesterday wasn't necessarily the most positive you could hope for, or you could wish for, but we're going to talk about it a little bit today and try to maybe bring a little comfort to some IU fans that might be nervous about all the different things written yesterday.
Yeah, you are much more knowledgeable, and Alex, and I've told you guys, you know far more about what's going on than I do, but you're kind enough to share it with me from time to time. I knew about this, and I don't know anything about AAU shoe companies or any of that, but we had talked about it. You guys had shared, along with some other people that we have on the show from time to time. So, not shocked. I liked the fact. No, I didn't like the fact. I hated the fact that some of these other websites put a spin on it the way they put it out there. And did they lie?
Yeah,
no,
that's,
but
that's, boy, on my list to talk about.
They
I
stretched
agree.
The truth to its ultimate. So it's an interesting time. I once had a high school basketball coach tell me, I can never picture a time that I'm not known as the head coach at, and he mentioned a school. And I believe that's even magnified for college coaches.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly, Matt Dennison here. Let's go ahead and jump right into things. The Honey Baked Ham guest lineup today we have coming on in segment two. Once Lee and I go through some of the headlines, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex is going to be with us for an extended segment today. We'll obviously talk Romeo Langford, the story yesterday that came out. We'll talk IU basketball as well. That's a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's jump into some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And I want to start right off with what we opened the show with, the Washington Post story. Yesterday it had quotes from Romeo's father, Tim. It had quotes from some Rick Pitino, obviously. And a lot of it, it sounded like to me, and I'm just piecing all this together, but the Washington Post always does some investigative reporting. They were on top of the college basketball scandal. Like a lot of outlets, they requested and received, I assume, through the federal government, which had seized evidence in the case, text messages, and that's, I don't know if it went through the federal government as an open law, open records request, or if it went through the University of Louisville. I'm not quite sure how that worked, but nonetheless, they had received text messages of Rick Pitino's, going back to this Brian Bowen situation, to try to uncover more of that. Well, in those text messages, Romeo Langford's name was mentioned, and I'm paraphrasing here, but in the story, Patino, an Adidas school, obviously was concerned because at the time UCLA, who was a big Adidas-sponsored school, now they are with Under Armour. Patino had been told one of the Adidas people, the representatives in the shoe game, was pushing UCLA to make a visit for the Lankford family. And, you know, obviously he didn't want his own people, his own shoe company that he's affiliated with, recruiting against him. So there were some text messages, and that's the reason his name came up, at least in the messages that were quoted and mentioned in this story. And then it goes on to talk about the 22 Vision team, which we talked about some last spring and summer. That was a new team on the Adidas Gauntlet circuit. You've got the Adidas Gauntlet, you've got the Nike EYBL, which stands for Elite Youth Basketball League, and you've got the UA Association, the Under Armour Association. That is what they call their circuit of teams. So a new team arises on the circuit last year, 22, obviously in reference, I assume, to Romeo Langford's favorite number as a kid, although he did not wear that number at New Albany. And long story short, the story has a lot of, I don't want to call it damning evidence, because I don't know that any of it is a surprise or any of it is terribly negative. But, you know, obviously Romeo's dad became director of a AAU program, or a travel team, for lack of better terms, that was sponsored by Adidas. And with that, they set up a foundation to receive a check from Adidas that would pay not only for Romeo, but for all of the members of this one team in the 22 Vision Club to attend Adidas-sponsored tournaments around the country. And, of course, you know, trying to say that Adidas was involved in his college choice, there are some things that we'll never know. But knowing the Lankfords and how they operated, to me, it's Tim Lankford looking out for the best situation for his kid, saw an opportunity to have their own branded team for Romeo. Who knows, that team, if Romeo goes on to have the career that people think he might, projected as the number six pick in the 2019 NBA draft, 22 Vision might become a program that helps a lot of kids in Southern Indiana and Louisville. It may just be something they wanted to get started. Who knows what the future could hold? But my point is this, and I don't know that I'm doing a good job making my point here, kind of getting into some different things, but my point is this. For years and years and years, whether they're a parent of a prospect that's really good, a parent of a prospect that just plays, or someone like Lee Kelly or Matt Dennison that loves basketball and wants to organize a team, if you have a reputation of developing teams in the spring and summer that have high major prospects that are good enough for college coaches at the highest levels to want to come see your team play on a regular basis, and you, especially in a metropolitan area, you know, the Chicago's have multiple teams, the New York City's have multiple teams, the Louisville, Southern Indiana area, you know, maybe one team that's sponsored, two teams sponsored by shoe companies, Indianapolis with the record of product prospects that come out of the state, obviously a number of shoe sponsored teams. But no matter who you are, whether it's Tim Lankford or whether it's some random person out there that's the director of a program or has access to high-level players to form a team, Adidas, Nike, Under Armour will want you in their circuit. And part of getting you in their circuit is you have to attend a certain number of their events, which normally it's, you know, three or four events spread out in the spring into the summer, and then a championship-type weekend that Nike calls it the Peach Jam, for example, down in Atlanta. The Under Armour or the Adidas, I don't know if it's their national championship or the Gauntlet Finals, I don't know what they call it now, but you have a set number of required tournaments you have to attend. And therefore, the shoe company gives you a contract as a consultant to basically fund that team. Now, a lot of times if you're doing consultant work or contract work, you're not just paying for the team, but you're going to make some money for your efforts for putting it all together and for traveling and for all the arrangements and things that come up. So, again, for people like myself and for many people that I know, high school coaches and others that are familiar with how summer basketball works, especially the higher levels where shoe companies are involved, for Adidas to write a check to Tim Lankford or any director of a program is a standard operating procedure that's happened probably since the late 80s when shoe-sponsored teams in the summer really took hold, and Nike was one of the first front runners in that ball game as far as gathering the top high school talent outside of their high school teams. The other thing, you know, New Albany getting an Adidas sponsorship, that was mentioned. There were some quotes from Jim Shannon in the story yesterday. I mean, let's be honest, you can track high school teams year after year and find that shoe companies will sponsor a team that has really good players. Bloomington South, right as they began their rise in high school basketball in the state, all of a sudden they became an Under Armour school and had all the great Under Armour gear, and that's because they had D1 prospect after D1 prospect. Indianapolis Pike, one of the first Nike-sponsored teams that I'm aware of in the state of Indiana. Well, look back now, Indianapolis Pike, I don't think they do at this very moment, but I think they've had more NBA players in the last 10, 15 years from their high school than any high school program elsewhere in the state. So you understand why shoe companies want to get involved with those. So interesting to hear the Washington Post side of it. They brought some personal things into it about the Langford family that for Romeo's sake, as a kid that's done a lot for the area, I hate to read that. I hate to see that. But there's a lot more we can talk about. Alex is probably more qualified to give his thoughts and opinions on it than I am. But one of the most disappointing things about yesterday, no matter how you feel about the Langford situation or the story that was in the paper yesterday, is how other media outlets, and it was Kentucky.com, which is the Herald leader, they, and I'm paraphrasing here, but they take the headline and say, report, Patino works with Adidas to keep Romeo Langford away from Kentucky. You know, that has nothing to do with what – I mean, that was a legitimate headline on the internet. I mean, within a word or two, that's a legitimate headline that I'm telling you. And that's farthest from what was going on there. That's my first point, is how some people reword things just to get clicks, which is their advertising. You know, we go back to this social media stuff. That's frustrating as hell. The other thing that's frustrating as hell, too, is Rick Pitino. You know, he's a guy that – and I think like most – fans, what I've always looked up to him as a coach. I thought he was an amazing coach and a very intriguing person. And you know, obviously, some of the problems he's had over the last 3 or 4 years have changed a lot of people's viewpoints on that. But now that he's in some trouble and he's claimed his innocence and claimed he didn't know anything about escorts and claimed he didn't know anything about a $100,000 transaction to Brian Bowen, and he's out of the job and he's maybe looking for another job, whether it's professional or college. Why does he speak to every media person, local, like a radio station yesterday in Louisville that called him, or national, like the Washington Post that called him to expand on his text messages about Romeo Langford? Makes zero sense to me.
Yeah, I think it's hard for people that are in the national limelight on a regular basis to be put out of the national limelight. And whatever it takes to keep their name, their picture, their brand – alive, they're going to do it. And whether I really don't see anything new that he's got to report, to be quite honest with you. You know, he's denied knowing anything and everything. So it's all old news. And if you're willing to take the time to put him on the air to let him rehash old news, so be it.
I don't know if I've done a good job talking through some of the points I had written down, but to me, and again, I care about Romeo. I think he's done more for Southern Indiana basketball and has the potential to do more for Southern Indiana basketball than anyone ever, probably all time, and definitely in your lifetime and my lifetime. And I respect and appreciate how he's handled himself. So I think, like a lot of people, I have an affinity to him where you want to see him do well and you don't want to see the media bash him. The other things that come into play when it involves his father and sponsorships and things like that, you know, if I saw something, I would tell you, but this is what's been going on for years, no matter what the situation is, no matter if it's a new program like 22 Vision that obviously came about because of Romeo. I mean, we all understand that. But to me, this is stuff that is commonplace. You don't have to like it. It is a little seedy, generally, in summer basketball. We all, I think, know that. But there's no rule against it. And so if you had a son that was coming up that was really good, that had an opportunity maybe to have his own team, his own identity, would you not take that if you knew you could get a sum of money to go play in the very best tournaments out there that are well-organized, where college coaches are going to be, not only for your son, but for the other kids on the team as well, and maybe make some money for your time? And there's no proof of how much money was paid or where the money went beyond paying for the team. So it's going to be interesting to follow this. And I think it's something that will die down, but not a lot going on right now. And people love to talk about Romeo Langford. And we're also into a time where people like to focus on the families of top players as well. Think about LeVar Ball. And I know he brings a lot of his own, you know, his own problems to himself by what he says when he opens his mouth. But we're going to talk more about this with Alex Bozich. I've had a ton of text. I've had a ton of tweets about this. But again, I look at it and read it, and a lot of what I see, and especially what I hear other people commenting on social media and other people writing off of the initial Washington Post report, I'm like, guys, this is just summer basketball. This is how it's been. There's no report of any, you know, wiring anybody money that's illegal. Someone got a consultant check basically to run a team and to pay for the travel expenses and everything else that goes along with it, and it happens all the time. And for the foreseeable future, unless the NCAA puts in a lot of new rules and regulations and the shoe companies back out of it, it's probably going to continue. So,
you know, I think part of it's human nature. People want to believe Romeo Langford can't possibly be that good, not just in basketball, but as a human being. And so you look for cracks in the armor, chinks in the armor. You look for something that's going on because you just don't believe that this young man hugs grandmas, goes to the hospital to visit sick kids, and so on. So you keep searching and you keep looking and you don't believe. And so you put things together that really aren't there.
Couple other headlines, and again, we're going to get back to this story with Alex Bozich in the next segment, but a couple other headlines to get to here today on the program presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. First off, we need to talk about Silver Creek Baseball for just a moment. They won again last night over Jeffersonville. They snapped a big winning streak for the Red Devils, and I tell you what, Silver Creek, back-to-back nights, they defeated New Albany in the bottom of the seventh inning, then they defeated Jeffersonville yesterday, a 15-8, the final score. Silver Creek had 15 runs on 17 hits. They had 15 singles in the game. Jeff had 8 runs on 8 hits. They did have 3 home runs and 6 total extra base hits, but it wasn't enough. As Silver Creek playing some great baseball right now. Jeff had won 12 in a row. Is that right?
That's what it said.
And I was thinking, oh, man, they're really, with the draw they got and hosting the sectional, they're the front runner in that thing at this point, even though New Albany's maybe been ranked a little higher. And who knows? But Silver Creek comes in, and they are a team red hot right now as they will head into sectional play. Their opening sectional game against Providence, which should be a classic. Ton of talent in that game. A ton of Division I and college baseball commits in that game. We'll have it, by the way, here on the Big X next Thursday. But Silver Creek playing great baseball. We'd be remiss if we didn't spend a moment today in the headlines talking about Joe Decker's team.
Yeah, and I think Silver Creek's won 8 in a row. But we talked to Coach Decker 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he was crying just a little, trying to get his seniors focused again after their senior trip to, I believe it's Washington, D.C. They were gone for a week, and they came back and lost their first game of the year, really weren't playing very well, got pounded by Providence. But I believe he has his seniors' attention again. He's got some underclassmen stepping up big for him, too. Dragons are playing well right now.
Note about the NBA. First off, how great have the Eastern and Western Conference Finals been? I have really enjoyed these NBA playoffs, and it all started with the Pacers and Oladipo and how well they challenged the Cavaliers. I love seeing that. I'm always for anybody playing the Cavaliers. But Brad Stevens, obviously his Indiana roots, love seeing him on the sidelines, love watching what he calls for the Celtics, and just the Rockets the Rockets and the Warriors, two great teams with a ton of talent as well. But NBA awards finalists came out yesterday for the awards that will be announced later this summer, and some local connections to IU basketball. Eric Gordon of the Rockets, who had 26 points last night for Houston in a big win that ties the series as it will head back to Golden State now. He's up again for NBA Sixth Man Award. He won that award a year ago, and I think has a strong chance to maybe win that award again this season. Also, Most Improved Player, that's a newer, and this might even be the first year for, but that's a newer NBA award. Victor Oladipo, one of 3 finalists for that award as well, and I would think would have a legitimate chance maybe to win that award. So some IU connections in the NBA. Eric Gordon has now been playing the NBA for a number of seasons. This is the farthest he's been in the playoffs, but he's continuing to play well, coming off the bench for the Rockets. Victor Oladipo has breathed new life both on and off the floor for the Pacers. So neat to see that both of those guys getting some love and potential for big postseason awards. One other NBA note, Orlando Magic coaching search. I can't say I pay attention to NBA coaching searches, but a lot of people, and I saw Mark Stein of the Chicago Tribune tweet this out, a lot of people gathering in Chicago for the NBA Combine. There's a lot of stuff going on basketball-wise in Chicago here over the next few days. But with that being said, rumors circulating that a leader for that job might be Houston coach Kelvin Sampson, former Indiana coach, as Orlando Magic's next head coach. So a prime target is how he listed him in his tweet. I have no idea if that will translate into him getting the job or not, but nonetheless interesting to hear that Kelvin Sampson being considered for an NBA job. He did, and he maybe has had some other NBA stints, but he did coach in the NBA for a brief time as a scout and maybe an assistant in between his time at Indiana and then when he re-entered college basketball again. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We go through the headlines each day here on the program to begin things. It's Cheeseburger Day at your hometown Sports Grill, $6.99 for a half pound or $5.99 for a fourth pound. Fresh, never frozen cheeseburger comes with fries, tots, or house-made chips. Come check out the newly landscaped Ted Throckmorton Miller Lite Patio. That sounds awful good. Live music tonight on this Thursday with Carl Anthony Stuck at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Speaking of our old friend and legend here at WXVW, Ted Throckmorton, you will be hosting tomorrow, and you will have his son Davey on because it's the time of the year for the Crusade for Children Golf Scramble that Ted used to run, a huge fundraiser for the Crusade. We always enjoy talking and previewing that and telling you how you can get involved if you want to remember Ted with a sponsorship, and you'll have the chance to talk with Davey tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to it, finding out all about the golf tournament and how the money is, where the money goes and so on. So, yeah, looking forward to that tomorrow.
All right, that's the look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. More on Romeo, the story in the Washington Post yesterday. We'll also talk some other IU basketball topics. Stay with us for that right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex joins us every Thursday here on the Hoosier Report, and his segment is presented by CC Power Sports. CC Power Sports with two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County, they carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course, racers welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, a ton of stuff to talk about. Romeo Langford's name still at the center of attention, and I expect that to continue with all the excitement surrounding IU basketball now as we head to the 2018-19 season after what's going to be a long summer and a long off season. But the story yesterday, not the thing that IU fans, I'm sure, want to read, but at the end of the day, I think you and I both agree, not a lot of surprising details in there for those that follow this stuff on a very close basis.
Yeah, I think the first thing that needs to be at least talked about or addressed or understood for those who either have read the article and don't know the background behind how it came to be, or those who just skimmed it and maybe are just looking at the headline. From my understanding, the way this is even came to fruition was the fact that the Washington Post previously did a story about Rick Pitino a couple of months ago where my understanding is he was essentially trying to clear his name, and he turned over text messages to the Washington Post and kind of gave him some information for the story they were working on. And then when the Romeo decision came a couple of weeks ago, I think the reporter that worked on that story went back and noticed in those text messages there were references to Romeo Langford. And so this reporter went back to Rick Pitino and asked him about it. And obviously Rick Pitino's doing anything he can to not only keep his name in the headlines, but also try to clear his name of some of his past things that have gone on. And so I think he wouldn't have wanted to make it look like he was hiding anything, and so he was forthcoming. And basically what he said, if you read the article, is that nothing illegal happened. And, you know, based on the information that we have and everything that I've gathered from reading it and talking to different people, it doesn't sound like anything illegal went on. Obviously, people don't want headlines or stories written that are negative in any way about the program that they follow. And but in this case, you know, I'm not looking at it as a big deal, and I look at it as something that will likely blow over here other news drops, you know, in the coming days, weeks, and months. That's kind of how the news cycle works.
Let's be honest, Alex. There's been a number of similar reports, some like Marvin Bagley, who was the sensational freshman at Duke who is in the NBA draft now, have just been unbelievable as far as actual amounts of money that transpired between shoe company and father who was involved with his Nike-sponsored EYBL team. This is I don't want to say a recycled story, but this is a common headline over the last couple of years, as you mentioned, that seems to come out just different places across the country where fathers are involved in coaching their son. And really, again, people, whether it be a parent of a prospect or whether it be someone that's been a longstanding coach or director of a summer basketball program, people have been getting these type of sponsorship checks for years and years from shoe companies. This is something that I think you could date all the way back into maybe even the 80s when you think back about it.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is go watch the 30 for 30 on Sonny Vaccaro. I mean, there's been things like this going on for a long time. I think the only reason that it gives people any pause in the case of Marvin Bagley or in this case is that it's a parent of a recruit that's, you know, acting as the team director for the program. I mean, this is not anything that doesn't happen with other programs. Maybe it's not the parent. Maybe it's somebody that's, you know, whatever, running the program, whoever it is. They're not doing that out of the kindness of their hearts or for a hobby. I mean, there's a lot of time that you invest to do that. I mean, you're traveling around the country, you're running a program, you're helping kids get seen and get scholarships. And so nobody has a problem with it if it's not somebody associated directly with a recruiter or a family member. It only comes to be a headline when it's, you know, a family member directly. And so that, you know, that's a little bit hypocritical in terms of how you look at things. You know, it's, like I said, it's happening with Under Armour, it's happening with Adidas, it's happening with Nike. This is unfortunate. I mean, I don't actually think it's unfortunate because, you know, I think this is just how the system is. And until something changes or if something needs to change, then the NCAA or whoever's, you know, calling the shots on what's right and what's wrong needs to kind of specify what the rules are. But until that happens, to me, it's just smart business for anybody involved to take advantage of whatever opportunity is there. And in this case, I don't necessarily think that anything to the extent, I mean, if you looked at the reporting on Marvin Bagley, it sounded like they had a total lifestyle change in terms of, you know, him, his father running the program. It sounded like, from what I read in that story, that it was basically that was his full-time job. And with this situation, it doesn't seem to be the case. So much ado about nothing, in my opinion.
Alex, I've got to ask you, and you, Matt, and your father and some other people are the people that share a lot of information. I'm on the outside looking in on 90% of what goes on in sports. But as I look at the figures that are thrown around supporting different things that these shoe companies support, from supplying uniforms and shoes and whatever else to high schools to AAU-type teams, how much money is available from these shoe companies? I mean, their profit margin has got to be astronomical to be able to put that kind of money back out there for these different events.
Yeah, but you got to look at it from their perspective. They're trying to identify the next Kevin Durant. They're trying to identify the next Steph Curry. They're trying to identify the next James Harden, right? So if you're an executive at any of these shoe brands and you're trying to have a relationship with, you know, the next big thing, whether it be Marvin Bagley, Romeo Langford, any of these kids, of course you're going to try to do whatever you can to keep them under your umbrella so that you have a better chance of signing them once they become professional. Now, there's probably a lot of instances where these shoe companies are putting up money for an AAU team for a kid that doesn't pan out or doesn't sign with them. I mean, look back at Andrew Wiggins, who went to Kansas, right? He was a Nike kid all through the grassroots scene, signed with Kansas, which is an Adidas program, and I believe now he's with Adidas as an NBA player. So sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But, I mean, the ultimate thing here is that this whole thing, you know, we like to look at college athletics and we talk about student athletes and we talk about, you know, they're really there to get an education. But for a small subset of prospects, this is a business, right? And these shoe companies know that. The colleges at the biggest level know that. And, you know, the shoe companies are going to do what they can to give themselves a leg up with these kids and have a chance to sign them when they become pros. And so as much as people don't want to hear that this is how it works in certain instances, this is how it's worked. This is how it's worked for a long time. And I don't think it's going to be changing anytime soon.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex, let me ask you, because I'm older than dirt, how exactly, I guess you want to associate with the top NBA stars, hoping that the average young man on the street will go into a local athletic shoe store and buy that shoe for some astronomical price. Is that the goal? And tell me the kind of shoe prices we're talking about, because it's been a long time since I've been in the Finish Line or any of these places to look.
Yeah, I mean, I have a 7-year-old now who started to ask me about these different shoes, and I've started to look them up. I mean, you can get yourself into $200 or $300 for a pair of shoes now, depending on what you're looking for. I mean, there's all of the top NBA stars, for the most part, have their own shoes. A lot of them are with Nike. I mean, Paul George has a shoe, Kyrie Irving, the list goes on. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry. You know, all of them, James Harden, Damian Lillard have shoes with Adidas. And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, you identify maybe 15 or 20 of these guys out of high school and you hope that you hit on one or two of them. I mean, and that's how you kind of recoup, I guess, whatever expenses you have. But it's not like when I was growing up, it was like, I think, $100 for a pair of Jordans, and that was like a big deal at that time, and that was, you know, considered a lot of money. Now you're talking several $100s that some of these kids are dropping for shoes and different things, limited release shoes, and you got a lot of buzz on social media about different things coming out. And so it's a whole, the shoe companies aren't doing all this out of the kindness of their hearts. They're in business to make money, and they're obviously making a lot of money. Otherwise, they wouldn't be putting up money for different various grassroots programs around the country.
You know, I go back to the Chuck Taylor high top canvas shoes, and my parents paid $12.95 for them. Now that's been just a little while, but it is hard for me to wrap my mind around. It's been a long time since I've priced shoes, like I said, but it's hard for me to wrap my mind around those price tags and so on.
Yep, it's definitely something that's really evolved and exploded. Even since, like I mentioned growing up, I remember it was a big deal when Grant Hill got his own shoe from Fila. I don't even know if Fila is around anymore, but Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour, it's an arms race to get the best. And you know, Under Armour obviously has done a pretty good job with getting Steph Curry. He's obviously one of the bigger names in the NBA, but Nike is really still the gold standard. They've got most of the top guys.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, joining us. We're talking about a Washington Post story that came out yesterday. Interesting, too, and I said in the first segment I wasn't sure how the Washington Post received Pitino's text messages. I didn't know if it was like an open records request investigation or maybe to the University of Louisville. So you shed some light on that he actually voluntarily turned some of that over to try to help clear his name a bit. It is interesting, though, that Rick Pitino commenting about Romeo Langford in the Washington Post and came on a Louisville radio station, a Louisville-based show yesterday to talk more about it after saying he wasn't going to do any more interviews the last time he was on a month or so ago. But, you know, it's amazing. He seems to know so much about the Romeo Langford situation when it came to Adidas and his father and his summer team and that sort of thing, but didn't know anything about Brian Bowen.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, when you kind of look at some of the comments he's made over the course of all of this time, and 680, I think, has done a pretty good job of kind of, Jason Anderson, I thought, did a great job on his show yesterday going through some of this stuff. But it was almost like, you know, he talked at first like he never even knew who Jim Gatto was or never talked to him about anything, and now he's disclosing that he talked to Jim Gatto specifically about Romeo Langford. So I think it kind of calls into question his credibility and his stories and how things have changed. And, you know, it almost looks like he's trying to hold on to dear life to keep any opportunity alive for him. But the more he talks, the more statements you get from him, and you can match him up against things he said previously where he kind of contradicts himself. So his credibility is not really something that is very well regarded at this point. And also, I would say, what he said in the story for the Washington Post, I mean, everything he said about the Langfords and Romeo was complimentary. He did say nice things about them. If you listen to that interview he did yesterday here locally, he said that he thought that they had handled the recruiting process as well as anybody. So I don't necessarily, you know, obviously putting Romeo Langford's picture in there and writing about him is going to get clicks and discussion, but I don't necessarily think the story was about Romeo Langford as much as it was Rick Pitino, because you don't have the story without Rick Pitino's comments in there.
And, you know, one other thing I want to say, too, and I want to bring up Missouri here in a second, so don't let me forget that, because Alex and I talked about that this morning, which I think is a great example of, again, a similar situation, although I cringe a little bit more at that than I do this. But hang tight. I do want to say this. There have been some criticisms of not of Romeo, but of the coverage of Romeo, not just from our station, who had basically 12 hours of live coverage on his commitment day, but just the way it's been covered and the way that everyone seems to be enamored is the word I heard used by Romeo Langford. My answer to those people is you obviously haven't been around Southern Indiana in our basketball. You obviously weren't in the gym and weren't in the hallway behind the gym when Romeo made so many young kids happy and adults happy with autographs and kind words and photos and those sorts of thing. And, you know, there was a video that was done for the IHSA state finals, and it also was played that night at the announcement, and the title of it is, you know, Romeo Langford, a once in a generational player. And you know, I can't agree with that tagline for Romeo more, that he is a once in a generational player. So if you're from Southern Indiana, or you get the hysteria of basketball in Indiana, and you know the memories and the history that exist in, with the state and our area in this game, and then you see it come back to life through a player like Romeo Langford and bring communities together and bring fans back to the stands and make high school basketball the ticket, more important than anything else going out there on the weekends for people to attend, you understand why we want to do 12 hours of coverage. You understand why his decision is such a big deal. You understand why the family and school wanted to have a signing ceremony that was a little lengthy, that did include their family pastor, that did do some things that for the average college decision in this area, it maybe even across the country, you don't see. And so to those haters that have that type of stuff to say about all the coverage that Alex has had or all that we've done and continue to do and will continue to do about a great player as he goes to college, and we hope we get to cover him at the draft the next year and beyond. I can already think about all kind of neat situations that Romeo Langford can allow us to be part of in a small way. I wanted to say that because there definitely have been some shots and some things generally at the situation that if you're not from here, you don't get it, just stay out of it, you don't understand. And that goes to some Kentucky people specifically.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with more. I mean, it's not just Kentucky people. I mean, I've read a couple things coming out of Indianapolis, heard a couple radio shows where they're saying things about the pastor or the dad, Mr. Langford. It's just, you know, a lot of it is over the top and unnecessary. And like you said, it's people that, you know, aren't from Southern Indiana, don't, you know, they haven't been to games, they haven't been around the family. It's always funny when you hear someone preface something with, well, I don't know this person very well, but here's what I think. Well, if you don't know the person very well, then don't tell us what you think, because you don't know what you're talking about. And so that's kind of my whole take on the situation. I've talked to you guys both before about why I covered Romeo as extensively as I did this season. It's not only because I'm from New Albany, it's because I cover Indiana, and he was, you know, this is the biggest recruiting story for Indiana basketball since Cody Zeller or Eric Gordon. And people want to read about it. And if it was a situation where I felt like the kid was not worthy of the attention, or he was difficult to deal with, or if it was anything like that, you know, I probably wouldn't have spent as much time. But it was the polar opposite of that, always accommodating, and a lot of fun to watch play, obviously. So, like I said, I think, Matt, you said it pretty well. You know, don't preface something with saying, you know, you don't know the situation or you haven't been there, then give us your opinion, because you lose your credibility when you do things like that.
Here's something we'll never know, and I know a lot of IU fans still rejoicing over Romeo's decision, but had he got up there that night and chosen Vanderbilt, which months before that seemed like a real possibility, or had he chosen to go play and maybe try to win a national championship in 1 year of college basketball at Kansas, there would have been some negative reaction. There would have been some really, really disappointed people. But I think generally people would still track Romeo and watch Romeo every opportunity they could. Now, people wouldn't be able to go to the games as much that followed him in his high school career, or became enamored with him through his, you know, his state tournament runs and those sort of things. But, we would talk about Romeo on a still regular basis about how he was doing at Kansas or Vanderbilt, or even if it was another school, Duke or Kentucky, that he had chosen. He's from Southern Indiana. We're proud of him, just as we'll be proud of the next player that comes out and plays high major basketball, maybe from Jeffersonville or from another school in Southern Indiana. But I think after the initial disappointment maybe from some kids and some families died down, if he had not chosen Indiana, you would see a lot of people become fans of wherever he went, or at least remain Romeo fans. And that would tell people, like Kentucky fans taking shots at 12 hours of coverage and fans losing their mind over Romeo Langford, that would tell you how special and truly once-of-a-generational player he is, that fans still would follow him to schools maybe they don't like even. So we'll never know that, and I guess that's a good thing, but I feel strongly that that would be the case. Again, it's something that it's a moot point because he chose Indiana, and who knows? With Romeo, as he made his decision, and we'll never know the specifics of what he and his family spoke about when it came down to those three schools and when it was eliminated, Kansas and Vanderbilt, and Indiana was going to be the choice for him. But perhaps over the last couple of years, as he's had great support, kind support from fans, not only the New Albany fans, but every place he went, people wanting his autograph, people talking to him very respectful. No one ever, you know, they may joke with him, hey, you need to go to Indiana or you need to go here, but no one ever getting in his face or you know, saying anything off mark. Maybe that stuck with him, and he thought, you know, IU fans and people locally can see me play. They've been good to me, and so why not stay here? Who knows if that was even a factor in the decision, but you do have to wonder that because the fans treated him so well, and he knows that, obviously. So, interesting. Alex, before we let you go, I do want to ask one more thing, because you brought this up this morning when we were talking off air, and I thought this was another great example of situations in college basketball or surrounding the game of college basketball that, you know, a fan might look at and say, oh, that's terrible, or that's illegal, or it should be illegal, or that's cheating, or whatever, but it's not. And look at what Missouri did, hiring an assistant coach who just happened to be the father of a big-time prospect and was able to get him the job, even though there are some NCAA rules now about who you can hire on staff and, you know, their connections to prospects. But talk a little bit about that. I thought that was another – to me, again, it makes me cringe a little more than the summer shoe deal thing, but it's an interesting point to think about one of the rules where there's kind of a hole there. Allowing coaches to hire an assistant on their staff that might be solely not for their X's and O ability or their recruiting ability, but because of their connections to a certain player.
Yeah, Michael Porter was originally going to Washington, and then his dad was an assistant coach out at Washington, and Lorenzo Romar got fired. And so then all of a sudden, Michael Porter's dad is on staff at Missouri, and Michael Porter and his younger brother, who reclassified every year, both highly coveted guys who are in this draft, I believe. The younger brother is, just not signed with an agent, but I think the expectation is that he will. But, the dad got hired at Missouri and both sons signed there. And I'm sure he was paid several $100,000 to be on the staff. I'm not sure if he's going to continue on the staff beyond this year. I don't know if that's been officially said or not, but I would be surprised if he's a long-term, staff member there at Missouri. So that seems like to me, something that's within the rules and that happened, but it's pretty much blatantly you hired the dad to get the two kids. And that's, smart move by Missouri, I guess, to do that. You know, there's not a lot of programs at like the highest level of college basketball that are going to do something like that. But for a program, I guess, trying to find its footing and get back to some national prominence, that's what they did. And above board on the rules, but it's pretty blatantly obvious what happened there and why it happened.
Isn't that shades of Danny Manning? And was it Kansas that Danny mysteriously found an assistant job at?
Yeah, I don't remember that situation specifically, but it's there's always going to be in any situation people that are trying to make the most out of whatever's available to them or whatever rules. Without breaking rules, you try to get right up against the line as close as you can and take advantage of whatever loopholes. That's in any walk of life, right? I mean, anything you can do to get an advantage, as long as you're not breaking the law or breaking a rule, then you try to do. I mean, that's just kind of how business works. And so with all this, I mean, like you said earlier, I was listening, and I think this stuff will blow over and we'll move on. And for now, and I guess in the middle of May, there's not much to talk about. I guess it gave for some interesting discussion, but I just don't see anything really here that suggests that this is going to be a long-term problem for anybody involved.
Alex Bosich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Alex, an extra-long segment with us today to talk about Romeo Langford and the Washington Post story yesterday. You could stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Summer is here, so visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. Alex, thanks so much for some extra time today. Good stuff. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Thank you.
We'll head to a commercial break. Lee Kelly and I here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. We'll be back to wrap it up. This has been a quick one, Lee. Almost in the books for today. We'll be back with more. A final segment coming your way next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back for a final segment, Thursday edition of the program. Lee Kelly is with me in studio. Don't forget next week, a ton of high school baseball coverage starting next Wednesday evening. We'll have the two first-round games from Jeffersonville starting at 5:30. Next Thursday, we'll have two of the first-round games from Providence, or I should say from Silver Creek, one of those, the big Providence-Silver Creek game on Thursday. Next Saturday, a week from this Saturday, the 4A sectional semifinals beginning at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then a week from this coming Monday, which is Memorial Day, we'll have the 4A baseball championship game, and I believe that game will be played at 1 o'clock as well. So a ton of baseball coming up. Looking forward to it. A lot of great matchups. Speaking of baseball, a note I think you have on IU Southeast baseball, who had a terrific season, but their season has come to a close.
Yeah, they had a fantastic season that came to a close yesterday at Hattiesburg, Mississippi. They had a 6-2 loss to the host and fifth-seeded William Carey. College. IUS was the third seed, finished the season 41-14. The NAIA tourney began on Monday, and it finishes up today, weather permitting. The nine first-round site winners will advance to the national tourney, which will be held May 25th to June 1st at Lewis Clark State College in Lewiston, Idaho. So a lower division baseball, but I'm sure we know how IUS is. Great baseball being played at the NAIA level.
Yeah, congratulations to IU Southeast on a great season. And again, a lot of things to look forward to with baseball coming up here. High school stuff next week with sectionals from Wednesday on. So we'll be very busy with that. And it's enjoyable. Kind of wraps up the year of high school sports. What a year it's been. What an opportunity to cover some very unique storylines here in the area. And we hope that we've got one or two at least local teams that can make a nice run into the state tournament that can extend our coverage a little bit of high school baseball. So hopefully between Silver Creek and Providence and 3A, New Albany, Jeff, Floyd Central playing pretty good in 4A. Can't forget about Henryville down in the lower levels. I think 2A baseball, maybe we can get a couple winners out of all that to go on beyond the regional.
Yeah, and one final note from a friend, Bob Noosh, Douche at New Albany High School, been coaching boys and girls tennis for 50 years, has made the announcement that he's calling a career as a coach. His team's in the championship of the New Albany Tennis Sectional today, but whenever that happens, Bob comes up on the losing end. It will be his final match. He's done a fantastic job, been a great ambassador for tennis and for New Albany High School.
Yeah, tennis won't be the same without Bob on the side of the court.
So will not.
Quite a career. New Albany losing some good people. John Breeding, the volleyball coach, retiring not only from his coaching position, but his job, his teaching job at the school as well. And you think back about New Albany Athletics with Don Unruh and John Breeding and Bob Douche and, of course, Jim Shannon, who's now been there for 20 years, some legendary names, and some of those guys getting toward the end of their career like John and Bob. So our best to both of those guys. Lee will be in tomorrow for me at 11 o'clock. Who we got? Jared Morris, Assembly Call, Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, David Throckmorton, Ted Throckmorton's son, going to talk about the big Throckmorton golf scramble to benefit the Crusade for Children. So I know you'll have fun with that. I appreciate you sitting in today and tomorrow as well.
Looking forward to it, and hope everybody joins us again tomorrow morning.
All righty, that's going to wrap it up. Lee Kelly back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. to wrap up the week on the Hoosier Report. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget you can catch us here weekdays, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio.